Well, good morning. Appreciate the opportunity. Was Tim out this morning to lead your thoughts this morning? And a few years ago, I put together a series of studies on the footprints of Jesus, looking at the characteristics of Jesus, the characteristics that we're to emulate still today. And one of those characteristics was compassion. And so this morning, if you will, we'll follow through and look at the compassion of Christ and how we are to emulate that same kind of compassion. So we'll look at that this morning in our studies. Again, appreciate the opportunity. I, like many other presenters, find that I get more out of the lessons than probably you're going to, and I apologize for that on the front end, but I get to study and learn and dig deeper into the scriptures, and that was the case for me this morning, and I hope that you also get something from the lesson. So let's look at the scripture that was just written. This is appropriate for the shepherd and me to think about a baby lamb. A baby lamb's pretty helpless. Hours after birth, Kurt can probably appreciate, is just pretty, it's a limp, wet washcloth. Not a lot of energy, really pretty helpless. It's amazing within a matter of minutes in getting the mama's milk that the lamb suddenly springs up and is able to manage life and take off. But there's not a moment of compassion from either the mother or maybe the shepherd that has to take place in order for that to occur. And providing that they're not in, that they would be out in the elements and that mom's not there or shepherd's not there, without that compassion, that lamb just wouldn't survive. And so to think about Christ referring to that compassion in regards to a shepherd and to sheep makes a lot of sense to me. It fits really appropriate. And he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. So he saw, as a shepherd would see, this helpless form, in this case the helpless people, and without his shepherding, they were weary, they were scattered, and they need assistance, right? So that compassion that Christ had, that recognition that the crowd needed something, is a characteristic that we'll study here this morning as we looked at the compassion of Christ. Today we need many things. We need wisdom, certainly. We need spirituality. We need a standard of morality. Goodness knows the country needs that standard that sometimes seems to be really missing. All of those are important components, but I would tell you this morning what we need as much as anything is a heart. If we look in Zechariah 7 and 9, in Zechariah, the scripture says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another." So the scripture in Jeremiah says we need a heart. We need compassion. We need mercy. It's an element of our Christian life. It's an element of God-fearing people that we have a heart, that we have compassion. And so this morning, in addition to wisdom and spirituality and morality, I would tell you as Christians, we need a heart. We need that compassion. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 13 and 3 or follow along, much of the scripture this morning I'll have on the screen if you'd like to follow there as well. But 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profit me nothing." So again, that heart, that compassion, that love, that intimate feeling that what drives us inside. No matter what other things I have or don't have, I need love. Or in this case, it says it profits me none. We have great charity in the United States. I look at the giving that we give, and we could say that we're a giving nation. We give many things to many causes, many of them really great causes, but do we have compassion that goes with it? Do we truly have the love and passion for those around us? Ephesians 4 and 13, continuing in the thought of compassion, is till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the statures of the fullness of Christ. So what was that compassion that Christ had? If we're to have a fullness of Christ, if we're to have what Christ, if we are to emulate, if we're to follow his footprints, particularly around compassion, what does that look like? What is that fullness that we should do? Well, Jesus had compassion. Matthew 9, 35 through 36, as he traveled, the crowds grew larger and larger, and he faced a multitude, and he saw them as individuals, not merely as lives, but souls that were in danger. Compassion. I don't know about you, but this time of year is a little crazy for me. I can go to Walmart and feel like the crowds are just more than I really want to take. And you put me in a Black Friday, and you might as well shoot me, because that's not a happy place for me. The crowds and the gathering around of people, there are plenty. The sheep look really happy, a happy place for me, compared to that kind of crowd and that kind of situation. And yet we know from Christ that everywhere he went, there was a multitude that was following behind him, a multitude around him. And there wasn't a private moment. Sometimes even when he tried to get away, it wasn't long before the crowd found him, before they saw where he was at and they met him again. Maybe it was on the opposite side of the water. Maybe it was, you know, in the next town, but there was the crowd. And yet, as we read 9, 35, and 36, he saw them as individuals. He saw their unique need. In this case, he worried about just them being filled, their hunger. He worried that this crowd that had gathered needed something more, but he also was worried about their soul. And so the crowd was a part of his responsibility, that he could address their spiritual needs and their physical needs. He had compassion. I see the baby lamb here again. When that thing is there struggling and in need of, how could the shepherd not want to tend to the need, right? How could it not have compassion to make sure that I give it the best chance of survival and to help that lamb? How could I not have a spirit of compassion? And yet, do we have that same compassion for mankind? Do we see as Christ did the needs of the multitudes? Do we see what those around us, or do we just see them as another part of the larger mankind? How do we look at compassion, and particularly with our Christian responsibilities, how do we think about compassion? The Latin words means passion or with feeling. It's more than just a long word that starts with a C. It's a inner feeling. It's that deep compassion, something within us, something that we feel. The word conveys the idea of depth of feeling or identifies with tragedies and trials of others. Do I realize what someone else is going through? Can I put myself in their shoes? Can I walk their steps? Just as Christ did, he saw them as individuals. He saw that individual need. He thought about their soul, their needs, their, again, a passion. It's a deep, deep component within ourselves that drives us, that feeling that takes over, that I understand what some other person needs. When we look at the compassion of Christ, he had a passion for their soul. He had a passion for truth. And he had a passion that cried out against the evils of the world, that he take care of the world. We need to be passionate people. We need to have that feeling, that intense feeling of how important those around us are. And it, again, should drive us. It should be that inner feeling. It should be what moves us. Let's look at a few examples this morning of how Christ showed that compassion through his actions. And in each case, what I'd ask you to do is look about how would I have responded? How would I have reacted? Would I have taken on a Christ-like behavior in the compassion that I might have in a similar situation? So I'm going to ask you through the next set of scriptures to put yourself in Christ's shoes and think about how I might react. Let's go to Luke 7, 12 through 15. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. All right, let's think about the situation. So, single mother, widow, and her son has just passed away. Can you put yourself in the footsteps of this lady who's just lost the only connection she has in her son, and the mourning? Can you imagine the emotions? Can you imagine how that would tug on your heartstring? And in verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said, do not weep. The Lord saw her emotions, didn't he? He related to her situation. He knew who she was, not just a name, not just somebody you read about, but he understood the situation. He understood the loss that she had just occurred in her life, and he empathized, didn't he? He had feeling, he had passion. There was something that drove him to understand who she was and where she was as a person. And in verse 14, and when he came, he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And so he was dead, set up, and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Christ understood the situation, didn't he? He understood the need of this lady, and he knew the deep sorrow that she had, and she understood the loss that she had just had, and he did something, didn't he? He stepped in, he made a difference. He made a difference in this lady's life. Those in the town knew. They empathized. They were with her as she had this loss. Are we there when those losses around us? Do we have that same kind of compassion? Let's look at another example. This time in Matthew 20, 30 through 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And when the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. What did the crowd around, how did they react? Come on, be quiet. You know, don't bother Christ. We're here to listen to him. We don't want the distraction of that. He doesn't have time to bother with you. He's an important person, and he has a job to do. Do we relate to that? Do we act like the multitude sometimes? Do we have empathy for those that are around us that have needs? And these two men had needs, didn't they? Verse 32, and so Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." And so Jesus had compassion, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. The multitude said he didn't have time for them. What did they receive? They received compassion, didn't they? They received recognition by Christ that they were there, that they were those who had need, and Christ answered that need. He answered that with a compassion in his touch, a compassion in his recognition of their needs as individuals. Okay, let's look at Mark 1, 40 through 42. Mark 1, 40 through 42. And now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." First of all, this is a leper. So what should have been the normal occurrence for a leper? They were isolated. They were pushed out. They were outside of town. They shouldn't have had any access to anybody else, right? Anybody healthy, they should have been excluded. They should have been banished away so that we don't run the risk that leprosy could pass on to those of health. And where's this leper at? He's kneeling down in front of Christ. The reaction from the crowd would have been, "Please go back, go away. We don't want you here. You're not welcome here. Because of your health concerns, we need you somewhere else." But instead, the leper is presented in front of Christ, and what does Christ do in verse 41? Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Christ was willing to be there, wasn't he? He touched him. Can you imagine the concerns? Why did they banish him away? Why did they put him in a place where they didn't come in contact with others? And we know that Christ stretched out his hand and he touched him. He cleansed him. And in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Again, Christ showing the compassion for mankind here in terms of a leper. Matthew 15 and 32. Referred to earlier, Matthew 15 and 32. And now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Give me about one meal and I'm hungry." Maybe you guys don't fit in that same category as me, but if I've missed one of the three squares, I suddenly have become faint, I think. I'm looking for food. This crowd has traveled with him for 3 days. Again, surrounded by the crowd, surrounded by those following him, teaching to the crowd. And Christ is not only concerned about their soul, he's not forgotten the fact that they haven't eaten, that they haven't had a square meal. I don't feel like that's a recognition by me. I've ate enough turkey and dressing, and I'm certainly could probably pass for missing one of those meals. That probably wasn't the case with this body. There wasn't an inn, there wasn't a convenience store, there wasn't a Wendy's that you could drive through the drive-thru on your way home. they were literally without food in a way, and Christ thought about their needs. He thought about the needs of the people. He had compassion. They weren't just people that were following him, but he was thinking about what was their needs. Let's go to Mark 6, 31 through 34. Continuing on the thought of Christ's compassion, Mark 6, 31 through 34. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and came together to him." So again, just a moment of quiet on a boat ride, to away from the crowds. And he no more than hits the shore than they followed around, and there they are. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a multitude, and he was moved with compassion. He didn't say, "Oh my goodness, there they are again. There's this crowd." He was moved with compassion. He had that inner feeling of passion for them. And it continues. "And because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things." He had great compassion for mankind, didn't he? Christ, the man who was focused on us, who was focused on our needs and what we needed in our lives. And he started to teach to them as the moment that he left the boat, seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are pretty lost. Occasionally we get a sheep that's separated from the rest of the flock, and if you knew this or not, but sheep have a normal flocking instinct. So when a cow gets separated, they're a little lost, but they generally survive. You're usually more worried about them because they're by themselves and what's going on. A sheep, on the other hand, is totally has lost their presence when they're away from other sheep. They need to flock to something. They need to be close to another sheep. And so the fact that Christ recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd said that he really recognized how lost they were, what a bad place they were, and he had great compassion that they needed what he was bringing. And because of that, he immediately started to teach to them as he exited the boat. So let's look at the compassion of Christ. He was moved with compassion over the death of an only son, dreaded disease of leprosy, blindness, hungry crowds, and even a thief on a cross. Christ had compassion. Even in his moment of greatest pain and agony, he had compassion for the thief on the cross beside him. Christ had compassion in his life at all points, didn't he? He recognized the individual, he recognized the need, and he had great compassion for him. And he knew the person for what was ailing them, didn't he? Sometimes are we at a nicety, say, "How are you doing?" when we really don't really want to even know. Do we not want to recognize the person as an individual and what might be touching him? And that might not be just the body that's here. What about those you worked with? Do you have great compassion for them? Or is that you're worried about getting the job done and getting them managed through it and forget about what some of the struggles they might be having personally? What are the things that are in their life that I should have great compassion for? Do we see them as individuals as Christ saw each of these individuals? Do we see what their real needs are? Do we understand what it is that's in their life that we should be thinking about? And is that not a Christ-like behavior that we should have? That we would recognize others' struggles in their life and the things that are most challenging for them. That we see them as individuals, as Christ saw each of these as individuals. The compassion of Christ. Let's look at 1 John 3:17. Always think of 3:16. So we look at 3:17. And so, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. What about us? Do we have that great compassion? Do we think about the person's needs? And are we worried about condemning them or thinking about all the things that are wrong with this person? Or do we think about the personal needs of the individual? When I put this lesson together a few years ago, this was actually one of the more recent disasters in the world. And it was in Haiti. And do you remember the earthquakes in Haiti? First of all, do you remember the housing situation in Haiti? What kind of housing would folks have in Haiti? Well, not much. It was a shanty or a shack or maybe cardboard put together, just some kind of basic shelter. And so the type of earthquake at that time in Haiti was totally devastating. The one thing of shelter being one of those essential elements, and they no longer had that. Not only were they malnutritioned and didn't have many things, in this case, one of the basic elements of shelter was gone. How did we react to that? How did we personally, did we have compassion for those? And we could go on and on, right? We could even, we could think of the fires in California just a few weeks ago. We could think of a hurricane that wiped out a country of Puerto Rico. We could think about some of the disaster here, even in this town of Siloam a few weeks ago, as the tornadoes went through town. And did we think about somebody and their personal need and struggles? Did we think about them as individuals? Did we think as Christ did what some of their personal needs were? Did we address those as individuals? What did we do to help with that? Or did we go on about our daily work and not think about what some of the needs were? I think if we have a Christ-like compassion, we would have thought about some of their personal needs. And in each one of those situations, how did we react to it? It's a season of the year where a lot of times the needs of others are put forward. Organizations come forward with needs that they have, but do we have the compassion when that happens? And as I think about myself, do I get carried away in the season and the work and all the busyness of all of that activity and not have the same kind of compassion maybe as I should have? As we emulate Christ, I think we need to think about that compassion. Let's look at Matthew 18:27. Again, it's a season of the year when a great amount of money, of economy is certainly driven. In this season there's more spending in those last few weeks between now and the first of the year than there are in the rest of the year. So how do we think about just the economy and the amount of money? And in Matthew 18:27, then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. So in this case, the master recognized the great burden, the great debt, and he released him of that responsibility. Great compassion. Luke 10:33 is the story of the Samaritan. And we know that two men passed by before. in a priest and a rabbi that should have had great compassion, should have seen their role in helping this individual, and yet a Samaritan, an outcast to society, is the one who met the need. He's the one who had the compassion. He saw and he had great compassion for that individual that laid in need. He didn't have to be told what the need was. He saw it, he addressed it, and he even left monetary funds behind to take care of the need. The Samaritan recognized where the two that should have done it maybe didn't meet the need. And are we like the rabbi, and are we like the priest, or are we like the Samaritan? How do we have compassion? Do we see a need and we address it? Or do we sometimes pass by and hope that somebody else will take care of it? Luke 15 and 20, one of my favorite stories. As the father that had every reason in the world to never recognize the son back into the family, spots the son in the distance, and let none of those things in the past get in the way. The fact that he had spent all of his inheritance, that he had ran away to sow his wild oats. And yet in verse 20 he says, and he rose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So no matter what had happened in the past, he had great compassion, didn't he? He saw the need. He saw the son as the son that needed his compassion, the son that needed his recognition. Do we hold a grudge? If the father had held a grudge, what would he have done? He probably went in and shut the door, right? Closed up shop. I'm no longer here and available. That's not what we saw. We saw him from a great distance off and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Again, a great recognition that we need to have that compassion in our heart, just as the Father had. That we need to have that great recognition of how we think about others and what their needs are. The son had every right not to get that kind of love from his father, didn't he? He had every reason to expect that dad really wasn't going to recognize. In fact, he wanted just table scraps. He recognized his place and what he earned, what he deserved. But what he got instead was great compassion. Deuteronomy 13 and 17. And none of those condemning things shall be found in your hands, so that the Lord will turn his fierce anger. He will show you mercy and have compassion on you, and increase your numbers as he promised on oath to your forefathers. We live for a living God, that has great compassion on us. He has so much compassion on us that he sent a son that we would have the hope of eternal life. We live for a God that has great compassion. He's a jealous God. He expects us to have the right life, the right heart, the right kind of compassion. And yet, he has great compassion on us. He expects us to have compassion because he has compassion on us. This looks like the Stevens boys I thought about when I put this up. Was there a family picture that looked like this? I don't know. Thought about the compassion of Christ here in 1 Peter 3 and 8. And it says, finally, all of you of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. The brotherly love that we ought to have is amplified here in the two brothers. That they have compassion for one another, that no matter what, they would stand up for one another, that they would love one another, deep love for one another. And if there was a need, the other would reach out to the other brother. Be tender-hearted, be courteous, be compassionate. And we know that if we have that kind of compassion, that's the kind of compassion that Christ would expect us to have. Our brothers and sisters in Christ ought to be brotherly love the way we see in this picture. We ought to care for one another. We ought to look out for one another. We ought to meet the needs of our brothers and be tender-hearted and being courteous, even if there's something wrong in their life. Not condemning in nature, but that we meet them where they are and we recognize what their needs are. I think about the woman at the well being like that, right? Christ could have been condemning from the very get-go of this lady, of why she was there at midday, why she was with a man unmarried, been through multiple marriages, but he met her with compassion. He met her with true empathy where she was. He didn't forgive all that stuff. In fact, he brought those things up, but he met her with compassion and deep humanity in terms of her needs. Compassion of Christ. Ephesians 3:16 this morning. If we look at 3:16 through 19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. That'd be a pretty neat scripture to look at every morning, wouldn't it? If we wanted to get compassion right in our heart, would this not be a good scripture to look at occasionally and measure yourself? Good measuring stick. And do I have it dwelling in my heart? Am I grounded in love? Do I have the width, length, and depth and height of the love that Christ had? How do others see me? Do they see me that measures up to this? Do they see me as a loving person, a loving boss, a loving classmate? Or do they see me as somebody that's hard to get along with? Somebody who really doesn't really want to know how I am, just wants the job to be done, just to get things carried out. How do people see us in our work, in our studies, in our day-to-day life? Do they see us that measures up to this verses found here in Ephesians? Or do we not, does that not look like us in our daily life? I think that's what compassion should look like in the measure that Christ is looking for. We're going to look at one last verse this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. If you'll turn over to John 11, and we're going to look at the death of that Lazarus. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sister sent out to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Christ already recognized what his role was going to be, and I think that's important here in verse 4, that we recognize Christ knows the outcome. He knows what's going to take place here, and it's actually going to be to the glory of God. And in verse 5, and now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, and so when he heard this, he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea now. So he stuck around a couple more days. He knows the outcome. He knows what's going. He knows how the story ends. And now he's ready to go to Judea. And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again." And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said after he said to them, "O friend, Lazarus sleeps, but I go and I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. So Jesus, again, knows the outcome has already occurred. They think he's asleep and getting better, and Jesus already knows that he's dead. And then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. You may believe, nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And so when Jesus came, he found that he was already in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Jesus was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection, the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you and the Christ, the Son of the God, who is to come into the world." And when she said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she rose and she came to him. And Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house and comfort her, when they saw that Mary rose quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then Mary came with Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come see." And Jesus wept. So Jesus knows the outcome of the story. His spirit groaned. Jesus wept. I think that's the kind of passion, compassion, that we should have as Christians. That even, and we could finish the story, that all of you know, that Lazarus is eventually raised from the dead, Jesus knows that's going to occur. And yet his compassion for the two sisters and the groaning of his spirit for their needs is the compassion that we should have. That we should have for mankind, for our brothers and sisters, that they would look at us and go, "I want what they have." The compassion they have for others, what they have in their heart is what I'm looking for. Folks notice how you treat others. Folks know that you're different, peculiar, different, because of that compassion that we display. And so I think this morning, as we think about compassion, we look at Christ and we look at the example, the perfect example that he left for us, how he treated us while on earth, how he continues to meet our needs. And the greatest act of compassion happened on the cross. A compassion for even us today and the sin in our life to make a sacrifice on our behalf. What greater compassion could we have than that kind of compassion? This morning, if you have needs, if you're in need of that compassion, first of all, Christ made that compassion on the cross, but we have to do our part. We have to obey the gospel in order to fulfill what Christ has left for us, the compassion that he's left for us. Maybe it's that you need compassion in your life in another way, or there's another need that you have. There are those of this congregation that would pray on your behalf, that we would, could remove that thing that's in your, that stands in your way, that we would have a compassion as a body for whatever those needs might be for you. If there are any needs that we can meet this morning, would you please come forward as we stand and sing?